Yes?
Centre Jordan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Everett. How you doing?
Fine, Mr. Prudnett.
Good to hear you.
Well, I'm mighty glad to be able to call you Mr. Prudnett.
Well, you did your part, my friend. You've done everything in the world a human could, and I never forget you and that sweet wife of yours. The times we've ever need you. I'm sitting here at Ladybird right now, and she sends her love.
Well, bless her soul.
She just came down to the office, tried to get me away. I've
bless
been staying
soul.
Here.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to join with her in helping you get you away from that place, too, Samuel Hyde. I don't want you to get killed in office, not just by work.
Well, I'm not.
It's two ways to die. Work yourself to death and let somebody shoot you.
Well.
But I don't want anything to happen to you.
Well.
By all means.
Well,
tell Lady Bird hello for both of us.
I sure will.
Mr. President, you know about the cotton bill.
Yep.
You know a lot about the cotton bill. You helped get it through the House.
Yep.
And it's just absolutely imperative that this bill get through the Senate and get through here quick. And I'll tell you why. You have been in business a long time and know as much about as anybody in business. When it looked like this bill was going to pass, and when it did get through the House, the big buyer just quit buying cotton textiles. They figured, well, it's going to go down now, which it will if we can get this 8.5 cents equalized here,
yeah.
Or a good portion of it.
Yeah.
And, well, J.C. Penney, now this is just confidential.
Yeah.
J.C. Penney is the largest buyer of textiles, of cotton textiles in the United States.
Yeah.
He buys more men's underwear, pajamas and everything, and socks and any of them.
Yeah.
I know his figures.
Yeah.
Well, they've just put out an order, which I know from one of the biggest, well, the biggest supplier of men's underwear, that they're gonna work on a 10-day basis till this is settled. Well, when you cut all the mills down to 10 days, they just almost stopped. Now, this can be put through the Senate. All right, it's the best bill. It's the only bill that's been offered that's got the support of everybody. I attended every one of the hearings in the Senate here, and the farmers, the warehousemen, the ginners, the cotton merchants, the seed crushers, the manufacturers have all agreed to this bill. Now, that's the first time we ever had them all agree to anything.
Yeah.
And that's your big ones in California and Arizona and Texas and the Carolinas and Mississippi and all of them. They all were here.
Yeah.
And they don't have anything against the Talmadge bill, neither do I, except that nobody will tell you they can pass that bill.
Uh-huh.
And they can't go back and pass it through the House to save their neck.
Well, why don't you just try to get your bill out, and what's Eleanor going to do about it? Is he going to hold hearings?
We don't need to hold any hearings. We held the hearings this spring, four months ago.
Why don't he take a vote on it and try to get it on out?
Well, he needs some prodding. Or some help from, now you know he's not, Eleanor's not sold on this bill. He's not sold on any kind of cotton bill.
Yeah.
He says it costs too much money.
Yeah.
Well, the figures on it now is about $118 million the first year and about $75 the next. And it'll cut our export subsidy down, cut it 2.5 cents a pound, which is a devil lot of money. If you'd get a hold of Eleanor and three or four people on that committee, we can get that. They'd ought to be got down here next week.
I'll check into it first thing in the morning.
Will you help us on it?
Yeah, I'll get my boys and get them to look right into it and tell them to do everything.
Hello?
Mr. Gavilani, please, found
us. Down there and put that old charm on him.
Well, let me talk to the secretary and see what he says, and then let me talk to my legislative boys, see what they say, and then I'll get back in touch with you.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, is George around anywhere?
No, I can transfer you.
Well, I want to.
Let me get some
middle information.
Let me transfer you right now.
Wait, let me ask you one other thing.
All right.
Senator Irvin.
Walter's here in the next office. You want to talk to him? Walter? Walter Jenkins.
Oh, yeah, I want to speak to Walter.
All right. Walter, go in there and get.
Wait, let me tell you one thing. If you got time.
Yeah.
Sam Irvin and I, on the 1st of November, recommended.
Yes, sir.
A young man for a federal judge in North Carolina. And we haven't heard beef and bull, but would you sort of look into that thing?
I sure will. Sure will.
Eugene Gordon, he's taking the place, we hope, of the federal judge, that's Judge Pryor, that came to turned down under with Sanford's at his direction, wouldn't appoint him. And when we went home for the recess or adjourn last year, he put Judge Pryor in as a recess appointment, and of course he was confirmed. We came back. Now this Judge Pryor, he's pulled out and given up his federal judgeship and running for governor. Terry's part running a boy down there.
Mm.
And
we'll check right into that and get back to you.
And we need to get this boy appointed and get him going.
All right.
Let me speak to Walter.
I'm on the line now, Senator. I've just been making notes on what you said on Eugene Gordon.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to do, though, if you don't mind, why don't you get Bill Whitley to call Larry O'Brien, tell him you want to check and get a report for you on it, and Walter, then you follow up and get a copy of the report.
I will, sir.
Get Bill to call him, too, first, because we haven't settled down with Bobby yet. If I go to inquiring, why, may tip her hand, just let Bill ask Larry O'Brien to get him a report, and you tell Larry that you've had a call on it, too, and you want a copy of it when he gets it.
All right, sir.
Bye. Okay. All right, goodbye.
Bye. Thank you so much,
bye.
Brandon.
How you doing, Senator?
Walter, fine. Clark, Mollenhoff?
Yep.
You know him.
Yes, sir.
Was in here yesterday afternoon.
Well,
yeah. And he was prodding and bearing down on Bill and me both about all the stuff he knows, what he knows, everything. He's been talking to this damn fella.
Reynolds.
Reynolds. And he said, that that insurance was bought by the LBJ company. Said it was $200,000 of it. I said, well, I don't know. We haven't made any inquiries into that thing. I don't know who bought it. I just heard he bought some one time, a long time ago, is all I know about it. And he said, well, we know. And he's been talking to this fella, Reynolds. That damn Reynolds is nuts. I don't know what all he hadn't told and all who he hadn't talked to. But I didn't tell you that before because I didn't know.
No. And what's wrong with the LBJ company buying it? Of course, as you know, that's what happened, as I told you the other night.
Well, I thought Linda did. I didn't know there's anything. Well, I don't know there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that you, I understood before that Mr. Linden bought it. You'd arranged it for details with Reynolds, whatever there was.
No, as I told you that, I just put him in touch with the people at the LBJ company who bought it.
Yeah, well, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, now that was the additional information. But what they're trying to set up there was a conflict of interest, he's using his he was in the Senate then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's right. That's what he said.
Well, that's right.
And they asked me, well, he also asked me the other day, yesterday. He said, you said you made a statement you didn't discuss two senators in there. And I said, that's exactly right. I told you the truth. Williams did not mention any senators. He said, did he mention any former senators? I said, not that I know of. Why, what are you talking about? He said, well, there was a former senator now president of the United States. Did he mention him? I said, well, I have no recollection of him mentioning it. He was really bearing down, and he said, well, went back to this conflict of interest. He was using his office to pressure people into buying radio time, television time, and all this stuff. I said, well, I haven't the slightest idea about that. I don't know anything about it. But I do know people that buy radio time, they sell it. That's what they got the station for, and I didn't know there's anything wrong with it. But I just want you to have that extra information on it.
Right.
If it's worth anything.
Yeah, I think I'll know about it.
Now, when I came out of this, we had a hearing today in the rules with these Melpar outfit out here.
Yes, sir.
We had the president and the executive vice president in for a long, about 3 or 4 hours. And, of course, that's where Bobby got these things in and so forth. When I came out, see, they got the television all standing around that place. It just covered up with radio people, television people. They wanted to know, since Lyndon had become president, was he putting the pressure on to hush this thing up? I said, yeah, absolutely not. Have you talked to the president? I said, I have not spoken to the president since he became president of the United States. but I won't make it positive statement. I have not talked to him. So, they keep, that was at 2:30 today.
Uh-huh.
So they keep boring in, and they ain't gonna get anything out of everybody, I can tell you that.
Well, that's good. All right, then what do you got? What do you do? Are you through with those people now that are there today?
Not the Mount Park.
Yeah.
No, we got two or three more Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I beg your pardon. We yes and no. We got the crowd that got thrown out. And you know this about this suit?
Yeah, I've read about it.
And another crowd in there. We're hearing the other side of this thing today. Tomorrow. I mean Monday, rather.
All right, sir. I sure thank you. Anything else I ought to know?
Well, I believe not. I want you to help me push this thing on this cotton, because this is that's the most imperative thing facing this country right now that I know of. It affects every segment of the textile industry, from the cotton grower right on up to the store counters. And without the boss's help on it, it's going to die right here in the city. And next year, it's going to wreck this textile industry.
All right.
If you run the store, Walter, you wouldn't put a damn pound of cotton goods on the shelf if you thought it was going to be 5 cents a yard cheaper next month, would you?
Nope.
And nobody else will. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. They just quit soon the house passed, didn't they? Just buying up to... Well, one man told me that Penny, one of the big Penny stores, ordered six dozen. About six dozen holes for it. And they just buying about every 3 days to have shipped by mail. But we're not going to get caught with an inventory of socks. Anything else?
Right.
And that's and so we've got to move on this thing.
All right. I heard the president already tell you he'd get some people to work on it.
Yeah.
Now let me be sure that I go over just briefly again what I told you the other night, so you'd be no question about it. They were looking for this insurance. This company was. They were going to buy it on him, so that if something happened to him, Ms. Johnson wouldn't be in real serious trouble and have to give up everything she had to pay the tax that'd be due on his death. And they found there's one company that was particularly interested in doing that kind of business, and this fella had it, and Bobby brought him to me, and I put him in touch with the people that wanted to buy the insurance, and they bought it from him. And that's just about it. And I don't think there's any serious problem with it, and as you indicated to me the other night, that you didn't think so either.
No, I don't see anything wrong with it, nothing.
Good.
But what they're trying to do, that they're trying to, I don't know what this fellow Reynolds, what he has told Williams and a lot of other folks. Of course, that's thinking hi-fi set in there. They got the darn invoice on that, and they're trying to make something out of that. And it probably got a lot of money out of it. And it's one thing or another.
Well, that's sure, as I told you, that is as far as we were concerned, that is something between us and Bobby, and we know the other fellow had anything in the world to do with it.
Yeah, that's between Reynolds and Bobby. What Reynolds wanted to give Bobby, that wasn't on your bidding. I don't presume it was.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't know he was involved in it at all.
Well, I've told you all that I've heard, and so you're all fixed on your end of it.
How did it look today? Was it
well, it didn't get around the all. No, it's all fouled up in this vending machine business. Ain't no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether this fellow said he didn't pay Bobby any money, but he got the contract. They give it to him on Bobby's say so. Bobby was just interested as a friend. But the other fellow said he paid him so much a month to keep it in there, and he took it away from him. So I don't know that he did anything criminal in that. I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly looks like a lot of influence peddling.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in touch with you on this other thing.
Well, I'm trying to keep the Bobby thing from spreading too.
I know you are.
Because hell, I don't want to see it spread either. It might spread a place we don't want to spread. Don't want to spread at all, but it may be a place that can't stop it from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty hard to put a fire out when it gets out of control.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Walter.
Well, thank you, sir.
That's right.
Appreciate it very much. And
you're welcome.
I will be reporting back to you on the cotton thing.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.